Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills is a healing evangelist, a best-selling author, and a mega church pastor. He's the founder of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, overseeing over 3,000 churches across every continent of the world. He pastors the First Love Church, a vibrant church in the city of Accra, transforming the lives of thousands of young people for the Lord. Now listen to Dag Heward Mills.
So, we want to move on to the next important aspect of what is your life. What is your life? Number one is what? Short life, long eternity. Amen? Number two, preparation. Your life is a preparation for eternity. All right? Number three, your life is a life of obtaining, getting a good report. Getting a good report for heaven. That is all that this life is about. Amen. Amen. A life preparing for yourself a good report for heaven. Quelli. A good report is all you need. Amen. How, Lord, can I finish my race on this earth? And when I stand before you, I'll have a good report. Michael, A. What did you get in? What did you get for your A levels? What did you get? Good report, isn't it? That's how you became a doctor, isn't it? You were a resident, or what do you call yourself? Attending. Are you still that, or you are a professor now? What are you? Attending physician. All right, you must have had a good report to be able to.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's had a good report in physical things, in human things. Amen. Now what we want to know is, how are you going to have a good report in heaven when we get to heaven? You know, I want to recommend this book to everyone if you haven't got one. It's called The Final Quest. Write it down if you don't have a copy. And it's by Rick Joyner. I want to suggest to you that you read that whole book from cover to cover. I think it will particularly bless you if you are a Christian. Amen. If you don't have it, how many have read it? How many have not read it? How many have not read it? Let's see. Okay, get a copy. Buy the truth and sell it not. Amen. 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 You will be blessed when you read it. Now, when I read that book, all right, I became convinced about certain things. And at a point, I think I became a bit surprised. Because I'll tell you, there was a pastor in that book who had established a lot of churches like me. And he was at the lowest part of heaven. In fact, his situation was bad. Even though he had made it to heaven, it was not good for him at all. When you get the book, read the chapter on the white throne. I discovered this book about 2 years ago. And I've been campaigning for people to read it. Because it's a good Christian book. Now, I discovered that there was also another pastor who had written a lot of books just like me. This pastor was at the lowest place in heaven. A whole lot of problems. Then I discovered that he spoke about, there was another guy who he called the founder of the church. He said that the man was a great reformer. He reformed the church and affected history. And that guy was also at the lowest part of heaven. In fact, it was a frightening book to read. Because it's like even the highest people, what we think that somebody has really done well for God, was not anything. You get it? So I began to pray and I said, Lord, help me. What can I do now? Founders are in the lowest part. The book writers are at a very bad situation. People who have planted churches. And he said that those churches were full of evangelistic people. And they were very evangelistic. Right now, as he was talking, he said there are large churches which are very evangelistic. I became very worried. Very worried. I said, Lord, Lord, show me the way. What do I need to do that will make me have a good report so that when I get there, you will be happy with me? How many want to know what you need to do so that if people who are founding churches, you have not founded any church, are having difficulties on arrival. You get it? People who have been preaching for years, have written books, you've not written any book, and they are finding it difficult when they arrive there. How much some of us, what problems are we going to have when we arrive there? So I prayed. I said, Lord, Lord, show me what to do. Show me the way to please you to have a good report. And so the Lord showed me and said, I'll show you what you need to do to be able to please me so that when you get there, there wouldn't be any problems. How many want to know what to do so that you'll be ready? All this short life is, Barbara, is to get you ready with a good report. A plus B, B plus A plus B plus. Get that good report for your stay over there. Kojo, that's the only thing. I just want to emphasize that. Don't think nothing that you are doing here is anything. In fact, I don't know. The way we are nothing when we die, it's mysterious. Because when we are on earth, we are so important. One brother, he was telling me, he was at the mortuary. His friend had died, and there was a pastor who had died, and they called for the ambulance to come and take the body to the mortuary. One day he was waiting for the ambulance, and then here came a pickup. What do you call it here? A truck, you know. And so they came and they carried the pastor, and they just threw him in the back. I said, oh man, why? And the mortuary man said, you know, this is why I don't quarrel with anybody in my life. Because I've realized that human beings are nothing. I don't quarrel with anybody. When I see human beings, you are a human being, you are just nothing. So I want to have a good report. Now, what is going to give me a good report? Now you got to listen to this part very carefully. How to have a good report. How to get a good report for heaven. Amen. Now, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a what? A good report. Jump to verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through what? Faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, amen, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Now, you will obtain a good report on this earth by one and only one thing. And that is by faith. By faith, by believing. Susie, amen. By believing. Amen. By doing what?
Believing.
By believing in things. Say believing in things.
Believing.
Say believing in God.
Believing in God.
Believing in what God's men say.
Believing
in what the Spirit of God tells you.
Believing what you read.
Believing what you hear.
What you hear.
Amen. Now listen to me. We do not obtain a good report by being good. You need to really listen to this part carefully. You will not obtain a good report in heaven by being good. By being holy. By being righteous. That's not what is going to give you the good report. In fact, that's not what is even going to qualify you for heaven. You're not going to get a good report by the works per se that you do. God is letting you know that He's assessing your works constantly. He's just monitoring your works. But it's not the good things that you are or that you do that are going to make you have a good report in heaven with God. In fact, think about it. You do not go to heaven by being good. Did you get to heaven by being good? Are you good? Are you really good? We try. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were created. Now notice by verse 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You will have a good report by believing. You see what I'm preaching? Some people believe in it. And some people believe it. Some don't. Some listen and they say, yeah. What you are saying is nice, it's good. And it looks to be true. But we are just waiting for you to finish and we are going to carry on in our lives just as it was, evermore shall be. Some people believe it so much that they say, I don't want to do anything else in this life. I just want to work for God. Some people believe it so much. They say, what is this I'm holding? What is this? Is this my job or my life? I want to put it out. I want to work for God. If God will only give me the opportunity, I want to. Some people will simply say, I don't even know what to do, Pastor. I don't even know how to preach, but I want to. From what you said, I really believe I want to. I'm doing what I'm doing here, not because I'm a good person, because there are many of you here that are better people than me, or probably all of you. Your first step in pleasing God is not by being good. This is a great revelation that you must have. I am not saved by being good. What does the Bible say in Romans 3:10? There is none righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. It says we are all as an unclean thing and we all do fade like a leaf. And our iniquities have, like the wind, have carried us away and all our righteousness are like filthy rags before. No, we can try and try and try and try and try and try. We still do not make the mark. Try as we do. We are really trying. We're really trying. I try and try and try and try. Pain, you try very hard. Try with all your might. Let God appear to you for 1 second. There's nobody in the Bible whom God appeared to who did not become afraid. Isaiah thought he was good. In fact, you should have seen him preaching. He preached 5 powerful chapters. You read his first tapes. Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5. Very powerful. He used to preach against drunkenness. He used to preach against people who were not straightforward. He said, woe to them that say that black is white and white is black. Woe to them that go for strong drink. Woe to them that are drunken. Woe to them that lie. Woe to them. Very powerful. I mean, Isaiah was that powerful type. Very anointed. God had called him. He was a special prophet working for God. Then, in chapter 6, the Lord decided to just reveal himself to Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he said, yeah. Woe, the first woe was not for the people. At first it was woe to them, woe to them, woe to them, woe to them. That's it, woe to them. When he saw the Lord, woe is me. I am the one who is in trouble. I am undone. I am an unclean man. And I dwell amongst an unclean people with unclean lips. The whole of Isaiah is different from chapter 6 onwards. His preaching changed. He became softer. He became cooler. He was talking about the glory of God. Jesus will come and himself took our infirmities. And those were by his stripes we are healed. By his stripes we are healed. Oh yeah, his preaching changed. But before he saw the Lord, he was very sure that he was called. He was a young man. God has sent him. Give it to them. Say, woe to them that say, woe to them that say black is white. Woe to them that say bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. Those that say salt is bitter is sweet. Come on, woe to you. Very strong. Very strong. Then he saw the Lord. Oh. He was dead. Everybody who has had this experience has come to discover for himself that he, in his biggest form of righteousness, is nothing. I can show you about 7 men of God in the Bible who saw God. In their greatest holiness, they fell short. Have you heard of this guy? Job. What does the Bible call him? A perfect man. A perfect man. More perfect than Dr. Nosh. One that escheweth evil, that liveth uprightly, who commands his side, so much so that God went on a challenge with Satan over Job. That my guy is a good guy. Job was the center of the battle. My man is a good man. My man is the man of the men. A perfect man. Oh, he said, every time Job would organize offerings for his children, he said, maybe my children have cursed God in their heart without knowing. Let me make sacrifice for them to be forgiven. Always praying for his. He said, perhaps there's some sin that we don't even know about. Let's organize. Perfect man. Some of you, when you are, you don't even pray in your heart. You don't even pray. You don't even give offering for yourself. When we say Thanksgiving office, oh. I say, God has saved you from World Trade Center. Oh, why should I give an offering? I work in the Bronx. I don't work in World Trade Center. I work in Maryland. I don't work in World Trade Center. Why should I give an offering for him? I won't give any offering. Yeah. That man was perfect and upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. Powerful. But let me show you what happened to Job. One day, Job met God in Job chapter 42. I don't know whether you want to read because you're going to delay us. I should wait for you. I should read for you. Good. Then Job answered the Lord and said in Job chapter 42 verse 1, I know that thou canst do everything and no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Here I beseech thee and I will speak and I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Now notice verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing. But now, mine eye seeth thee. He had a vision, he saw the Lord. Now what did he say after he sees the Lord? Wherefore, I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. This is a man who was great, and God called him perfect and holy and righteous. He heard about God like we are hearing now. As soon as you come close to God, and you have a vision of him, you see, compared to what you are, you will not like yourself. The one time I've seen, I would say that is probably the highest vision that I've ever had in terms of seeing. It was like a white angel or the Lord Jesus or whatever, white, standing by me, as clear as I can. You can't tell me that it did not happen. I had been fasting. It was my first fast in my life. For 7 days I'd been fasting, and it appeared on my right. And suddenly, I felt in myself. And that's how I knew that it was God. Because as soon as that thing appeared on my right, I felt dirty. I felt dirty. That was the feeling. The first feeling that I had was death. Very ugly death. Nasty. Terrible. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Local. Ugly. That's Job. You've heard of the great Daniel, the one who prayed and put me to the lions. Have you been bitten by a lion before? Is anybody here who's been bitten by a lion before? I have been bitten by a lion before. I was bitten by a lion this year. Yeah. I've been bitten by a lion before. Pray that you will never be bitten by a lion. Pray about it. But Daniel said, I don't mind if lions will eat me. Never take it lightly when somebody says he was bitten by a lion. The lion is like the sea. It's like nature. That is wild. They don't understand anything else apart from to kill and to bite. If you put a big buffalo here with lions, they will eat everything. There will be nothing left. Not even everything. The bones, the head, the intestine, everything. Just nothing at all. When the lion finish eating, they crush bones. They are the strongest. When they say the lion is the king of the jungle, a leopard will run away from a lion. A tiger to everybody, because the lion is a different kind of animal. The jaws, and one slap with the paw like this, your head will even come off. Daniel said, "I don't mind." Lion or no lion, I will pray. There are no lions and we are still not praying. So Daniel saw the Lord. How many know that Daniel was a good man? In chapter 10, he was praying. 3 weeks of fasting. Next year is coming. We are going to fast again. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel, verse 7, chapter 10. And I, Daniel, saw the vision. Therefore I was left alone. I heard the voice. Verse 10. A hand touched me. Verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. How many would like God to say you are a man greatly beloved? A man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee. Stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had thus spoken, he said this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he said unto me, fear not. Verse 14. Now I am come to make thee understand. Verse 15. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched me. Amen. Where am I? 16. Touch me, and I opened my mouth, and I said before me, Lord, by the vision, my sorrows have been turned. I have no more strength. Verse 16. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. And then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me. I have retained no strength. Amen. But notice verse 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not, the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. And what happened to him in verse 8? Therefore I was left alone, and I saw this great vision. And what happened? There remained no strength in me. Why? 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 For my what? My niceness. My goodness. My righteousness was what? Was turned in me into corruption. And I retained no strength. His niceness was turned around into corruption. You'll find out that you are nothing. There is nothing good about us that God likes or wants. Amen. We are righteous only because we believe in Him. How are we saved? We are saved by grace through faith. As many as shall believe on Him shall be saved. If thou shalt receive, believe in thine heart that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, and thou shalt confess with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Abraham was the father of faith. He pleased God. And the Bible says, God, he believed when God spoke, and God counted it unto him for righteousness, because he believed in God. When God spoke to him, he believed. And that counted it to him, it was counted to him for righteousness. That is how come we begin to please God. Because we believe. You see, I'm preaching now. Some people believe, some people don't believe. Some people believe to extend, some people don't. Some people believe part. Some people believe so much that they're prepared to do anything because of what they've heard and what they believe. Some believe it partly. Some smile and they say, it's a good, nice message. And some will take 10 years, 15 years to believe what we are talking about. Some will even leave this camp and not even do anything for God. Some will leave this camp and say, we want to be pastors. Yes, we believe God. We want to be shepherds. We want to work for God and do nothing about it. And some will do everything about it. Some will pass by the books and the tape and say, man, because I've determined to be a pastor, I want to get these tapes. I want to get these books. I want to read them. Because they believe, they'll start reading. I want to read the books. I want to invest in it. Others don't believe. They say they believe. Everybody says, how many believe? Raise your hand. How many believe? Everybody says he believes. But show me your faith. I'll show you your faith by your works. Your works and what you do shows whether you believe. Brothers and sisters, there is no way we can please the Lord by being good. Abraham was not a good person per se. That's not how he became a father of faith. But he believed when God spoke to him. Abraham was not... If I was to do what Abraham did, you wouldn't stay in this church. Abraham slept with his maid. I have two maids. Abraham slept with his maid called Hagar. I have two maids, Deborah and Linda. If I sleep with my maid, you may not want to stay in the church. Any of these maids. Oh, Pastor Obi, is that not so? Hey, did Abraham not sleep with his maid?
Oh, but that's a different kind of maid.
That's a maid. It's a maid. Abraham's marriage was a very stormy one. One time they were traveling and he got to a place, he said, look, where we are going now, if anybody asks you about me, never mention my name. Never mention my name. If they say, who are you and this and that, do not mention, because they will try to kill me. Don't mention my name at all. Is it clear? If you mention my name, you see what will happen in this house. Sarah was afraid. And she said, these guys are going to rape me. I don't care. They're going to rape me, these unbelievers. And they're going to take me and have fun with me and do all sorts of things. Don't mention my name. Let it be clear to you. Never mention my name when we enter this place. You mention my name, you see what will happen to you in this house. And she went, and when he said, are you Mrs. Abraham? No, I'm just a maid, I'm nothing. They collected his wife. I don't care. Unbelievers are going to rape her, no problem. He didn't mind. Abraham, if I was to do what Abraham did, many of you would judge me. Yeah. Abraham married another woman. More. Let me marry somebody else now. Oh yeah, let me come announce that, you know, thank God we've been having shepherds come. The church has been going on very well all these years and so on. The Lord has spoken to me that I should move. The Bible said we should walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham. And I've decided to walk in those steps. And now I am going towards for my second wife. And my first wife has agreed to continue to stay. And I'm going in for the second one. Oh yeah. You will be the first person to point your finger at me and say, nah, he's fallen. Yeah, you tell me that I've fallen. And you would say, well, we are going to, there's a new church that has come, the latest church, Tower Chapel International. I've deviated. You wouldn't want me. Even at the point, I believe that Abraham separated from his wife. Because when Sarah died, Abraham was not with her. She died and they came and informed him, and he went there to bury her. And probably because of what he did to Isaac. Because she was not told anything before he realized he had gone on a journey with Isaac. The child that I've labored for 99 years, I've now given birth, you are going to kill the child. Without even discussing it with me. When she saw the she's leaving, it's enough. I've been handed over to be raped. I've been this. You have slept with my maid. All kinds of problems. But God said, because he believed in him, he was counted to him as righteousness. Amen. Amen. So I'm telling you something today, that your righteousness and your good report is not going to be because of your good works. Good works, indeed. You try to be good and be good and be good and be good and be good, and you will still not qualify. Those who get to know God know that God's righteousness is beyond our abilities. Far, far. Who are the people who had a good report? Who are the people who had a good report? Who are the people who ended up pleasing God? Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now let's call these people pastors. Pastor Abel and Pastor Cain. Pastor Abel was more God than Pastor Cain. Why? Can somebody tell me? Somebody should stand up and tell me why. Why was Abel more pleasing to God than Cain? Huh? Why? Why was his sacrifice better? Was it more? He gave his time. He took his time. It was his first and best. So does the Bible say that Cain's own was not the first and the best? He did it with faith. Amen. You see, what you do because of what you believe will give you the good report. Not what you do because people say you should do it, or people are expecting you to do it, but what you do because of what you believe. And that is why, even when it comes to giving, it's a spiritual thing. If Cain and Abel were teaming up to give an offering, they would not have given an offering. And that's why I believe that even husbands and wives and whatever, I've noticed in my life, whether it's I discuss with my pastors, I discuss with my wife, I discuss, anytime I discuss what I want to give, I don't give what I wanted to give. I'll give half of what I wanted to give. I've learned to give when I feel that I should. Now, what you do because of what you believe is what's going to bring you greater rewards. There are pastors today who are sacrificing more than even pastors who are not sacrificing as much. But it's possible that those who are not even sacrificing so much are more pleasing to God. Why? Yeah. One time I was talking to one of our lay pastors. We're laughing at him. We're telling him he has to rush home because he's going to work the next day. And we say, like, we as a full-time pastors, we may even have sometimes a lighter schedule, although not really so, but sometimes we have a lighter schedule because maybe when we finished working for the Lord, doing so many things on Sunday, on Mondays, usually we have a day off. But then somebody may have to go, he has to go to his workplace and so on at 7 o'clock, 6 a.m. in the morning. He's making a lot of sacrifice. So even the full-time person, he's like, he's even not sacrificing as much, maybe. But the full-time person, I'm not saying it is the case. Sometimes lay people are more pleasing because of the full-time. But sometimes, maybe the full-time person, he may be more pleasing because maybe he's not as qualified as even that lay person. Maybe he's not even as good a pastor. But he believes in God so much that he wants to give his whole life. And he said, I want to give my whole life to the Lord. And he may not even have my... You see, sometimes I look at the people and you realize that even sometimes those people who are really called and those who are really anointed, they don't really believe. They wouldn't ever want to be full-time. They wouldn't ever want to say, but they are, you see, are you really called by God? I mean, you see them, you can see the anointing, you can see the signs. Well, they wouldn't want to do that. They would like to do other things. You get it? You have somebody, maybe even a woman, or somebody who is not even as qualified, and who does not even have as much, and does not even know how to teach or preach like the person who really knows how to preach and is so called. But this person really believes and wants to give his life, or her life, to just work for the, because he believes that there's nothing else but eternity. And that sacrifice may be even be less. I know that you see the full time, but they even seem to be paid. They even seem to be okay. Yeah. They even seem to be having, seem that they are even enjoying life. But you realize that the sacrifice which pleases God is because of the belief. I am standing here because of my beliefs. I'm not standing here because of money. Even if I have money, and I keep telling you, I'm not broke. And even if I'm standing here, I'm not here. I'm doing what I'm doing because of what I believe. It is my belief in God. My belief. When God spoke to me in my heart and said, do this, that's what I did. That's how come we are here. I'm here by faith. And that's how I please God. Not because I've started 1,000 churches. Not because I've started 1,000 churches. But because that's why I said that this is the life of preparing to have a good report. Because I believe. I really believe. I really believe what I'm saying. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So you cry, you may sacrifice far more than me. I may be snoring and sleeping. And you may be sacrificing more than me. But I believe. When the word was preached, I believe. When the word is spoken, when God spoke to me in my heart, that little conviction, what he should do with my life, I believed it. And I walked by it. That's what makes me right. Not because I didn't fornicate or I did this and I did that. Now, for me, all those things, they are not as valuable as I used to see them. They are all important things, but don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that we should do all those things, but I'm saying that what makes God pleased with you, my brother? By faith. You see Rahab? She joined the good report people. She slept with so many, 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 many people. She didn't. What is sex to her? Sex is like drinking a glass of water. What do you want it? Do you want it? Left, right, which way, how do you want it, how long, how many times, what towns, whatever, this was her work. She joined the good report. When we get to heaven, we see, these are the cloud of witness. That's why Hebrews 11 continues to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 11 tells us all these people say that they all obtained a good report, but they didn't receive the promise because without us, they cannot be made perfect. We are the next group. He says, wherefore, seeing we are surrounded with all these guys are watching us, let us now also run our race. Rise up and believe in things. Believe. You see, as I speak, believe. As I preach, believe. As the word is coming, believe. When God speaks to your heart, believe. When he says do, do. When he says give, give. When he says surrender, surrender. When he says obey, obey. Whatever he tells you, do it. I'm here because of the things I believe. I wouldn't be here at all. I fought my way. All my life has been a fight. One day, Bishop Duncan was telling me, his wife told him, he said, you are tall. When will you have rest? When will you stop having a fight in your life? There's fight everywhere because the fight is a fight of faith. Devil will never want you to work for him. He will never want you to live for him. You've got to fight your way. And because of what you believe, I am standing here because of what I believe. I'm preaching because of what I believe. I'm working for God because of what I've left everything, absolutely everything. Every kind of income, earning, venture, and anything that I could have. Because I believe, God spoke to me and told me, I was a businessman. I had a truck. I was a sand and stone contractor. I was a transport owner. I've had taxis, I've had hiring cars, I've had trucks. I was into business. I've sold tapes, I've sold files, pens, import, export, everything. And the Lord said to me, particularly I was praying, I said that from now, leave everything and concentrate only on my work. In no vision, no dream, my conviction, I believe it. When I get to heaven, I'll have a good report because of that, not because of the number of churches that I've started. He said, by faith, Abel. By faith, Abraham. Then it also goes on to say that by faith, Sarah also had a good report. What was Sarah's work? To have sex when she was old. You keep starting your church. Sarah is waiting for you. She had sex and she went to heaven. Her duty was, you see, by faith, when you believe in things, you are different from those who don't believe. I believe. Oh, I'm here because I believe. I fully believe. I believe when people tell me that I believe God, then I began attracted to them. When someone said, I believe God wants me, God, that thing, I know it. We will all not be here if I have not followed what I... All that we are experiencing is because somebody believed something. Believe a word, believe a vision, believe a conviction in his heart, believe... By faith, you see, I believe in God, then I became a Christian. Not by being good. That is what brought me the first step to God. Then I believe again when he called me, said I should do his work. I believe it. And I was doing it with all my mind. The way he called me again and says, do this, I believe it again. And I went, that's what gives you a good report. Read the people. You think they are good people? There's not a... Don't let me start. Don't provoke me. Don't let me mention the people. Moses, the murderer. He was wanted for murder in Egypt. He's a wanted, convicted criminal. When Pharaoh discovered it, he began to chase him. And Moses ran away for murder. For murder. Don't start to see with your righteous nose. Coming and looking down at people and accusing them and laughing at people and saying this and saying that and all that. We don't become righteous in all your top righteousness. It doesn't reach anywhere. Your faith makes you have a good report. When you give and you don't believe, you are wasting your money big time. Big time. I don't give if I don't believe. When I believe, I give. And when I give, I believe with all my heart that I'm doing the right thing. And I plant and I believe. That's why I give. I pay tithes because I believe in God. I pay tithes because I believe. Many of you here, you don't pay tithes. You keep watching. You don't believe. You don't believe. That's why you wouldn't put your money in the gospel. People here, even pastors, shepherds, you don't pay tithes. Yes, you are with us smiling. I don't really believe. You don't really believe. And then you have the audacity to lift up your nose to look down on somebody else. Keep looking down. Keep looking down. Keep looking down on people. Faith is the way by which you will have a good report with God. Read all the people. Read all these about all these people. What made them have a good report? Abraham, Jacob, Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau by faith. The words he spoke, he believed in them. That made him. That was his good report. I never knew, Isaac did a lot of things, but the only thing that is written up, I said, he blessed Esau and Jacob by faith. He said, you this and that. Jacob also blessed his children by faith. And he called Joseph's children, Manasseh and Ephraim, and blessed them by faith. This was his good thing. Joseph, when he was dying, he gave commandment concerning his death and concerning his bones. The faith words he spoke, the preachings, the words of faith, that's what gave him a good report. Keep trying. Have you ever wondered, As you go through life and you hear of so-and-so evangelist who has fallen into this sin, and so-and-so pastor who has fallen into that problem, and so-and-so person who has... What does it mean? It's just a signal to you that all of them are human beings just like you are. That's all that it is. Even those who you've not heard of, who have fallen into anything, they are just all human beings. You can see everybody is struggling with human frailties. It's just a sign. And the human frailties were in the altar. Don't talk about David. You want us to talk about David now? You want us to talk about... You know David? You know David, the guy who carried the ark, dancing and so on. You know David? David, that's the guy. He's the one who... He was peeping, you know, when Bathsheba was bathing. Yeah, you know him. The guy who wrote all these psalms. He wrote more than 70 of the psalms. Singing, preaching, laughing, talking, speaking. The Lord is my shepherd. That's David. David's the guy. He's the guy who said, he's a man after my own heart. He said that time will not permit us to write about all these people. David. Yeah. The one. And then he said, look, I like her. And I don't like her husband. And her husband must die. Otherwise, I'm not going to be happy. Kill the husband. And he killed the husband. Simple. Have you killed somebody's husband yet? To marry the person? Yeah. They killed. He's the guy who said, he's a man after my own heart. He said that time will not permit us to write about all these people. David. Yeah. The one. And then he said, look, I like her. And I don't like her husband. And her husband must die. Otherwise, I'm not going to be happy. Kill the husband. And he killed the husband. Simple. Have you killed somebody's husband yet? To marry the person? Yeah. They killed the husband and then he did his wedding. That's all. Very easy. That's the David. That's the guy who God says, a man after my own heart. When you compare these people with your life, realize that you are an angel. How many realize that you are an angel when you compare yourself with these ones? Or not so many of you think you are angels. For instance, we preach about things. We'll say, do this. Do that. Do this. You don't believe. I preached there. How many were in church on Sunday when I was preaching? How many were not around? Morning or evening, anyone? Right? I preached about what? Preaching, teaching, healing. I preached about preaching. And the power of preaching. People still wouldn't invest in getting themselves an atmosphere creator or a tape recorder or even a tape. They wouldn't even bother. No, they wouldn't. They'll just pass by the tape because they've heard it. It's good. But they don't really believe it. They don't really believe that is really the key to really help their life, their marriage, their home, their future, and all that. They don't really believe it. They've heard it. They think it's a good idea. And it was a very nice sermon. And Bishop, we really enjoyed that message. And I wish you'd come again to entertain us. We really enjoy your entertainment. Come again. But they don't really believe it. I don't really believe it. If you believed it, lay pastors, if you believe what I'm saying, you wouldn't even want to be a lay pastor. That's the bottom line. You wouldn't. I mean, you would look and say, look, you know, what you are saying is, the reality is that. And then I will say, please stay in your lay job. But that's the opposite. In the church, you talk to the lay pastors and then they look at you as though you are trying to get something from them. As though you are trying to take away their jobs. As though you are trying to remove them from their lifelong ambition, which they have labored for all their lives. I've labored for too many years to be a pharmacist. I've labored for so many years to be a this and to be a that. And it's like you are coming for something. That's the attitude. And you have meetings, you preach and you campaign. One day I was sitting down with our pastors in Accra. And I was having all the food, some few of them were there. And I looked at them, I said, wow. After many years of talking, preaching, campaigning, You know, because over there we have more room for people to be in the ministry full time. I said, after many years, there were just about four people there. After talking and campaigning and so on, people don't really believe. I said everything that can be said. Oh, man. I mean, all these 11, 12 years. Kojo, you must have heard me preaching about all these things. For years and years and years and years and years and years. Obi, have you not heard me? Over and over and over and over. At point came and said, I'm not going to preach about some of these things anymore. Oh, no. I'm not going to talk about any of this. I just wave hello, how are you? Bye, say nice things and go away. Because people don't, because if you really believe, that's what I'm saying, that's what gives you. So even you may even believe and then you may do it and you may find that you are maybe making less of a sacrifice. But you find that you are even more pleasing to God. Not because you are doing more, but because you believe. Belief is what gives you a good report, not what you are doing. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm talking about. Yeah. And that's why sometimes I look at some of my people and I say, you know, I don't even tell them, but sometimes I look and I say, you know, you may not be the best person to work. You may not be the most anointed, but I love you so much. I really feel attracted to them because they believe. I'm attracted. That's what, and you know, I've come to see for me, I trust you, I believe in you is greater than I love you. When someone says, not even the person say, but you see, the person trusts you and believes you. It's higher, it's greater than even I love you to me. And that probably, that is why God seems to be attracted to those who believe in him. He's drawn to them. He's drawn to people who believe in him. He wants somebody, people who believe. Because as I preach, and so sometimes I sit down with my people and I look at them, I realize, look, this person may not have much anointing to preach. This one may not be very good at this. This one may not be good. But those who are very good, they don't believe in that. They don't really believe in that. Those who are very good at it and very called and very anointed, very capable, very talented. No. We are not. They don't really believe. And so that is how come you have this group of collection of criminals. Criminals going to heaven for good reports. Because the good guys, they are so good. They're great. You look at the collection of prostitutes, murderers galore. That's a, you could call that a gallery of horrors. Madame Tussauds horror gallery. That's Hebrews 11, one group of people. Murderers. Liars! Prostitutes! That's how come some of the people end up as pastors. That's how come I am a pastor. Even though I was never called even to be a blackboard monitor. Because the school prefects and the leaders and the leaders and the good people, they don't want to have anything to do with it. You talk and you preach and people criticize and they talk, oh, I don't want any of that kind of rubbish. And I can't stand nonsense at all. I don't want to hear this type of nonsense. Somebody saying church money, this kind of rubbish, nonsense. I don't want it. Yeah. That's how come people like me are half caste. In my country, I'm looked down upon. Yeah. Nobody will want to marry a half caste. Let's be honest. When I first went to my wife's house and so on, my father-in-law saw me. He thought I was coming for his other daughter, Irene. When he saw me and he just said, Irene, come. And he started in the car and he went out and I was standing in the house. He took her out. But I was coming for to see the other one. She was there. Nobody will want to marry me. Because it's like, where do I belong? When I go to Europe, they say I'm an African. When I go to Africa, they say I'm a disappointed European. When I get on a plane, they say I'm a hijacker. Oh Lord, where do I go? Where do I belong? I thank God I have a place in heaven. Hallelujah. You are so good, so nice. People are so nice, so talented. So talented. Powerful men. I mean, you see people who are orderly and good. Everything about them is good and nice. Oh man, and they could preach better than. But thank God. You see, he likes nothing. That's why sometimes you look and you see this. Here's this lady. She doesn't have a husband, she doesn't have a wife, she doesn't have a child. She's preaching. Her church is full of men, full of people. She's preaching. They are blessed. Because you see, the men who are good and are excellent and are perfect and are ideal, they don't believe such things. So God will use the woman. Yeah, bring up all your scriptures about women shouldn't preach, women shouldn't do this, women shouldn't do that. Yeah, but you see, the good guy, that's why God said, Jacob I love, Esau I hated. Esau couldn't bother to believe in such an inheritance and what, but look, I'm hungry. Just give me to take all these things. I don't need it. I don't need it. But this man believes. And that's why God uses sometimes the most rotten group of people. He has them. Liars, tricksters, murderers. That's the galaxy of horrors. These are the serial killers. They are in there. And God says, I like you. I like you. Come work for me. The good one, Esau, the firstborn with everything is perfect in his life. He doesn't believe what I'm talking about. That's why I always get upset when somebody wants to criticize Bishop Duncan Williams. You won't criticize Bishop Duncan from Ghana. He's this, he's that, he's that. Oh yeah? He went only up to class 3, you know. Class 3, what do you learn in class 3? What do you learn by class 3? Do you even know how to read by class 3? I am in. Go out. Jane and John went up the mountain. They came to play. This and that. That's even if he took the class 3 seriously. A lion has a tail. And you. He couldn't write his name when he was born again. You don't have to write his name. Nicholas. He didn't have to do it. You are good. You are perfect, Samson. I mean, you are so nice. And that's why Lily married you. You know? But perhaps you wouldn't do what he did. You wouldn't believe. Because you, I know why you wouldn't believe. Because you have so many nice things that somebody didn't have. You want to laugh at Africans? Because Africans believe in God and you say that. Yeah, because, well, they don't have anything, so they believe in God. Yeah, they don't have anything, so they believe in God. You have everything. You are nice. You are good. You are great. God has chosen and appointed for the poor to receive the gospel. Because the good, nice people, the called people. Oh man, sometimes I walk among the galaxy of called stars. Called pastors, called stars, called shepherds who don't want to have much to do with it. And then the other one who is not so gifted, he wants it. He likes it. And I love them. I am attracted to them. I appreciate them. I look at my full-time people and I say, you believe in God. You also even believed in me. For you to even come and be doing this work. There are people, I remember one time I was having a meeting. I was talking to a lady. She was working at the bank, one of the banks. And I said to her, whatever they are paying you at the bank, we will pay you. Will you cast them? No. That's why I love Reverend Saki. I sat in the room with him. I was a doctor, he was a lawyer. We both had work to do. And we all said, we believe so much in this thing. Go. Preach. Teach. Do. And we started. I remember the first day we started off, we made up, we painted it and everything. We were making our church office. Because to build a church office, especially when you start, there's nothing much to do. So we got there the first day, and we sat there. It was the afternoon, and there was a chair. It's a big old table. We had painted in dark brown, very nice painted, big. Oh, this old fashioned table, plywood. And I sat on this side, and he sat on that side. And it was finally the office was made, and finally we were sitting there. It was in the afternoon, and I looked at him. I said, what are we doing here? What are we doing here? There's nobody. There's nothing to do. There's nobody here. There's nobody to see. There's nothing. Why are you mad? I thought about it. Am I not mad? But by faith, you obtain a good report. Amen. It is faith that makes you have a good report. What you believe. Not because I'm not perfect. And Reverend Saki is not perfect either. Yeah. have my faults, I have my mistakes, I have every bad thing that you have, I have more. But by faith, we shall obtain a good report.
Amen.
So now when I see people who are, you know, they've been so down and they've committed this sin and that sin and so on, and I look at them and sometimes they believe even more than them. They believe more than the SU people, the Scripture Union people. Oh yeah. Because, you know, they don't feel good. They don't feel good about themselves. They don't feel I'm some good person and I've not done this before. And so what? You've not done this before. You've done it 10,000 times in your head, even though you've not done it before physically. You know, I had a vision, eh? Because, let me tell you, it was you people. I saw you people at a camp meeting. Last year's camp. You know, the Lord was just teaching me something. He just showed me, I mean, just a congregation, just a sample of a congregation. But it was you people. And then the Lord said to me, murderers and adulterers. I said, oh, murderers and adulterers. We see a murderer and adulterer here. And then the Lord said, anyone who looketh upon his neighbor's wife or any woman to lust after her in his heart has already committed adultery. There are very few brothers here, pastors, if even one is left out, who are not guilty of that. The Bible says, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. He said, whoso shall say unto his brother, Raka, which means a wretched man, is worthy of hellfire. But before that, he says that whosoever kills his brother, you have said that whosoever kills his brother or murders his brother is worthy of hellfire. But I say unto you, whosoever shall say fool, Raka, he is worthy of hellfire. Is the same. How many murderers are in the church today? How many adulterers are in the church today? If you can't see that you are one, then you are blind. So you see that in all that we are trying to do, we are just not there. It just doesn't qualify at all. That's why God says we shouldn't judge. He said, leave judging out of your life. Don't speak about things when people do things. Just stop it. Just leave it and give the people a chance. You'll be surprised at what God can do. Amen. Stand to your feet. Kojo wants to be born again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, forgive us for our sins. Father, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Oh, Lord, help our unbelief, Lord. We've heard so many messages and so many preachings and teachings, and we don't really believe, Lord. We hate people. And we point to matters. And we say, that's a murderer. But we are murderers. We hear of people committing fornication and adultery. And we despise them from the bottom of our heart. Not knowing that we are worse. Lord, we don't witness. And your word says the blood, their blood is on our hands. We are guilty of the blood. And yet we see the hijackers at the World Trade Center and we condemn. Not knowing that maybe if we had done our work, they would not have become hijackers. Forgive us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Have mercy, Lord. Give us the right heart, Lord. Give us the help. Help us to believe. Help us to believe that we may also have a good report in that day. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name. Yep. And you see a young girl, she's leading worship and so on. You look down on her and say, well, this girl, I know her first boyfriend. I know her second boyfriend. I know her last boyfriend. I'm the one who did abortion for her. I'm a doctor. I saw her this. I saw sex. Yeah. And so on. You keep looking down on people. You keep on looking down on people. God likes those people because they believe in him. God likes these people. Yeah. And you'll be surprised. You go to heaven and see the people there. People you never... In fact, in Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest, you know what happened? Jesus took him to a pastor, to see a pastor, and the pastor was sitting in a throne. Very glorious, one of the most glorious thrones. He said, I just wanted you to see where he is. Because you see, when he was on earth, he had done a great ministry, but at the end of his ministry, he deviated into certain doctrines. It was in the book, and it looked as though he had fallen, and I think he just died. Whatever. He said he wanted to talk to you. He said, no, I can't talk to you. I just want you to see where he is. And then they continued. Because people believe in God. Oh. Yeah. And in their belief, can they make mistakes? Which endeavor in life has been had without making mistakes? Is it going to space? Is it medicine? But operations have been done. People have died as experiments. Space, they've gone and exploded in the air. Planes have gone and fallen out. Which endeavor of human life has not been done without tragic mistakes? And yet it goes on. And yet, with our hearts, we look with some righteousness. I don't know where the righteousness came from. I don't know where this is. It's a deception, a delusion. Yeah, it's a delusion. And that's why when I remember clearly it was like a pan, I just saw the American church. The Lord said, adulteress and murderers. Murderers? We are the murderers, we are the adulteress. And the Lord showed me, 1 John, he said, whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. Whoso shall say rata, whoso shall say fool, it is like killing somebody. Wow. And suddenly I began to understand why I am attracted to people who believe. They believe in God and they believe in me. I found myself attracted to them. Like sometimes I would even leave some of my pastors and I'll be sitting down with these missionary guys. And they really believe in me, you know. They really bishop, whatever you say, that's what we are going to do. I said, really? One of them was telling me something. He said to me, Bishop, I want to tell you something. I said, what is it? He said, one brother in the university came to see him. And he told me something. I said, what did he tell you? He said, he told me that God has spoken to him that whatever he tells him to do in this life, he will do it. And I said, really? And I said, you see, you are even reaping something because you have that attitude that whatever this person says, you will do it. And another one came and said, was calling me his father. And I said, the reason is because you also have a father. And everybody knows that you have a father. And you see that these are people with belief and with faith. They are people with hard ambitions for whatever, but they just want to live for the Lord. Live for him, die for him, go for him, serve him. They don't mind. And you find yourself, you are interested in such people. You like to talk with them. It's interesting. That's for me. I'm just telling you, man. Why? Because they see, they believe. They really believe in things. They believe in God. They believe in dying for God. They believe in living. They believe in what you as an individual. Even though they know you are not perfect, they believe in you. Belief and faith is a very powerful thing. That by it, the elders obtain that. And you are also going to have a good report one day when you get there. You walk into heaven, and I can hear cheers. When you get there, they'll be throwing the cups into the air, and cheers will be coming. The elders will be clapping. Look, she's coming. She believed. She believed. She believed. And look at the things that she did, and where he is, and what he did. Why? Because he believed. A time will come. You hear the sound. Whoa! Shouting, clapping, cheering as you walk to wonder. Hey, what have I done? What did I do? Oh man. Because you may not even say, like you started some big church or you did this or you did that, but your faith and your life of faith where you walk believing in God to do his will and to do his work. These days when I see people with bigger churches than my church, I don't envy. I never used to envy them, but I don't envy them at all. Because you see, the reward is not by the size. It's because you believe. So when I see them, I pray for them. I say, Lord, help this man with all these members. Every member, more problems. But I believe. I believe in things. I believe in visions, hearing of things, dreams. Oh, there are things that I'm doing because of what I have felt. Sometimes I feel something, I believe. I walk by faith. That's what makes me please God. Not because I didn't this, I didn't lie, I didn't this, I don't do this, I did this, I don't do this. That is not what it says. For by faith. Without faith, it's not possible. And in fact, you must believe that God is a rewarder. Another thing you have to believe, that He can reward and He rewards and He blesses. So I feel freer now. You know, there's nothing particular that I have to do that's going to give me a good report. I believe, trust, flow, obey. Whatever I'm supposed to do, I do. And I'm not worried about doing any particular thing. If I can do it, I'll do it. If I can't, I believe that the things I need about $6 million now. I just believe. Just carry on. If He provides, I'll do it. I walk by it. I don't have to do it to make me go to heaven. Nothing that there's no particular thing I have to do. I'm relaxed. I'm just walking by faith. And the Bible says there remains a rest that you enter. When you enter into that level of faith, you begin to relax. Faith. Faith. Believe. Believe what you hear. Believe the words. Some of you, God spoke to you, told you this and that. Up till now, you don't mind Him. What are you expecting Him to do again? Keep on being holy, okay? Keep on being holy. Keep on saying, those who have not committed fornication, then you raise your hand. Those who have not lied, those who have not sinned, keep on raising your hand. It doesn't count to anything. See the galaxy of horrors. Hebrews 11. See the people who are there. Keep on, I've never this, I don't do this, I don't do that. You know that man, I fast, I this, I pray 3 times, I don't do this, I don't do that. The man on the cross, Jesus said, today, we are going tonight to be in paradise. What did he do? Which church did he start? Where was he a shepherd? Which camp did he come for? He said, I believe in you. The other guy was despising him. He said, if you are this, save yourself, save us. There's a lot of problems. Save us. And the other said, you don't fear. This is a righteous man. And he turned to him. He said, remember me. Remember me. And Jesus was touched by the belief of the thief, the very bad man. He never had a chance to come down and do one good thing. Have you thought about it? He never had a chance to come down and do any good works. He didn't have a chance to attend a single camp. Don't miss nothing. No laying hands, anointing, nothing. Your faith, you see, I give because I believe. Not because I'm supposed to give. They said we should give somewhere. I find something before. The pastor will look at you and with 3 eyes now. Then give. No. Never do that. Because I believe. That's why I pay tithes. Don't believe in tithe, don't pay at all. If you don't believe, continue not to pay tithe. It's up to you. I'm a believer. Are you a believer? That's why do you think I want my wife to be in the ministry? Do you think about it? Now that I'm in the ministry, say anything I have, if I have shoes, right? If I have shoes, people criticize me and say that this shoe is an offering shoe. If I have a shirt, they say that it's from the offering. Now, if I can just keep my wife working in the secular world, at least I can explain some of the things I have. What do you think? Yeah. And I can say that, no, it's my wife. You see, my wife is an attorney. She's a lawyer. She works here. She does this. She does that. And so on. And my father this and that. And I can explain so that I can say that I have another source. It is not. No. But I believe that my household, anybody that I really love, I don't want the person to do it. That's why I say my children. I know what is good. I know what is good in life. My children, I want them to work for God from day one. When they finish school, like this, when they finish school, like you see how this young, there was this young man in Ghana, you know, he came to tell me, he said, I'm finishing school, I think, on the 14th. He said, Bishop, I'm finishing school on the 14th university. On the 15th, I'm reporting. I'm in your hands for the rest of my life. Whatever you ask me to do, this is what I'm doing with my life. I want my children, when they finish on the 14th, from the 15th, it's kingdom. That's all. From day one, short life, long eternity. A life preparing for eternity. A life preparing for a good report. I believe it. So I believe for the dearest to me. I would commend them to God. I don't want my children to be rich. I don't think there's any need for them to be rich. I want them to have a good report for eternity. I believe. That's what I'm saying. If I didn't believe, I want my children to go to Harvard. I want my children to go to, what are the universities, the great university? Stuff. It doesn't mean anything to me. Not because I'm not from here. I know what is in life. I've traveled more widely than most of you. I see sometimes also because I move with ministers and pastors, our values are different. Some of you, because you go into the World Trade Center and the world, you get it. Your mind is that money is and this is important and that is, and so you have a different every so you battle. That is the great thing for you. So you have two worlds that you are always fighting. When you come to church, you feel a certain that when you go to work, it's like you are a stupid person not to really achieve and go in that direction. I believe. And I believe in people's callings. That's why I will help anybody. I will teach you anything. I'll give you anything. I will do anything I can do to encourage and make it possible for you to work for the Lord. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's what I believe in. What do you believe in? Believe. You see, if God speaks to you, obey. Look, I was in England. The Lord said to me, go and start a church in America. I came to start a church here. There are some churches God told me start. I was in England, London. And the Lord spoke to me. I was in a hotel, Holiday Inn, just upstairs praying. And the Lord spoke to me, said, send a pastor to Nigeria to go and start a church there. Wow. He's just finished building his nice house. How should I send him there? But I believe. I sent him there. I went home, I saw him, I stood by the car, I said, Jake, I want you to go to Lagos. Huh? Yeah, go to Lagos. No problem. I'm going. He's gone. Whatever the Lord tells me to do, I do. I'm here by faith. I believe in whispers of the Spirit, whispering. When God speaks, I believe in my little convictions, the few experiences that I have. I'm not a prophet. I've been seeing all these things you've seen. The small little one that I have. You know, one of my prayers, I'm always praying for an angel or Jesus to appear to me. It's something I really, really, really want. And I believe one day I'll be able to stand and tell you that. The other day, he came. I remember one time Benny Hinn came to Ghana, and when he came, we had this big crusade in the stadium. One of my pastors came from outside the city, and he came to be there. And there was Benny Hinn came, the meeting was. And then later on, he told me, he said, "You know, when I came to stay in your house," and he was staying in my house upstairs. He said, "When I came to stay in your house." He said that, I think it was on the second day or the third day or the first day of the crusade. He said that he was in the room upstairs. My bedroom is here, and this the other room is just here. You just walk 5 meters. He said that the door opened or so, and then the Lord Jesus walked into the room. I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah." And the Lord spoke to him. He said that the Lord put something in his hand. It was like fire or something. And he described, I don't want to give you the wrong whatever, he described what happened. And I was almost just listening to him. And as I was listening to him, I was very angry with the Lord. I was very angry with the Lord. And I was saying to myself that if you are coming to somebody's house, even the house owner is right there. and you just bypass him and then go to a visitor. I was very angry and very hurt, but I decided not to say anything. So I pretended as though I was happy about his vision. I said, God bless you, brother, God bless you. I have not seen the Lord like that. I wish to. I have the just that conviction, and maybe God has not allowed me to have those things for you, so that you will believe that all these great works are possible by just a little conviction in your heart. Even without having seen an angel. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's the whole purpose of this whole thing. Because if I have seen this thing, you always say, well, I haven't seen Jesus, and you have seen Jesus, and these things you are doing are for people who see Jesus.
When I see our
staff. Everybody is different. You have seen Jesus, I haven't. But I believe. When the Lord told me, sell your truck. Sell your truck and stop the business. Why? How do I know that it's God? I believe. Yeah. The things that I say, I believe. What are the convictions you have? Are you trying to tell me that God never spoke to you or never gave you a conviction? So that, it's not true. You've got to flow. It's real. He says that the Spirit of God is in you crying, Abba Father. That's how you know God is your Father. You never heard it with your voice, but the Spirit is in there crying. He's crying, he's speaking, but you never heard it with your physical ears. But you begin to know certain things when the Spirit speaks in you. So God speaks. God tells you. God says to you, pray. Some of you got to pray for Bishop. Some of you got to support him. Some of you got to give him some money. You got a problem. Whatever God tells you to do, do it. I remember one time I went to Tulsa to visit. And the Lord told me to give some money to Kenneth Hagin. And as I thought about what he was going, then that day he came to announce his tithe. He was preaching and he was saying how much he earned in 19 something and how much he earned in this was 1999 or so. And he was making so many $1 million was his tithe. I said, hey, this money that I'm supposed to go and give this man, his tithe and so on is $1 million. When his tithe is $1 million, 10 is to whatever, so 90 is to, if the 10% is this $1 million, then what is the 90% which is in his house? So what I am going to give have no consequence. But not, and the Lord began to rebuke me. I didn't even know. I decided not to do it. And in the morning, the Lord slapped me in the room. Two times in my life that I've wept like that. Only two times. This was one of them. And the Lord told me, you will not be anywhere if it was not for the ministry of this man. Everything you are and you are doing the ministry is because of. Why wouldn't I want to do something that is biblical? Not because he needs it, but because of the spiritual thing that the Lord is saying for you to do. It's a wonderful thing. God blesses us not by how much we have done, but how we believe in him. Somebody was asking me, how do you have a relationship with this pastor? The relationship is based on what I believe. All the troubles that come, I say, you know, this is what I believe. This is my stand. Add me to the trouble. This is my faith. I don't care. Why? Because I don't want to get involved in trouble. Because I want trouble. No, I don't like trouble too. But I have to go by what I believe. And we are here. We are here because we believe. We are here because we believe in God and we believe in the person that God sent. If Dr. Nosh had not welcomed me to his house, just before I came, somebody called him. Before we started the church in 1994, somebody called him and spoke to him and his wife extensively for about 1 hour or 2 hours, telling them that he should not allow me to stay in their house or to be with them to start the church, and that this and that, and I was going to be, I'm this type of person, and I'm like this and that. Excuse. Oh, yeah. If he did not believe in me, we would not be here, even though he believes in God, and we all believe in God. Oh, yeah. What did Jesus say? Believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in God, believe also in me. Your believing in God is always related to somebody. God will always give you somebody, and He will judge you by the way you relate to that person. He will judge His relationship with you by the way you relate with what He has put in front of you. Whether you believe in it, you like it or not, what He has placed in front of you, this thing, believe in it. Your relationship with Pastor Joel determines your relationship with me. If you can't relate with him, you can't relate with me. This America. No matter who you are, you can't relate with, you can't relate with him. And it's the same thing that in the church where God has placed me, you can't relate with God unless you are prepared to relate with me. It's a principle. Just like you are the pastor of the church there. If you cannot relate with the pastor, what God has put there, whether he saw, whether he's possessed, whatever, you can't relate with it. You can't relate with God. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. He that receiveth you, ends up receiving me. It always turns out that way. You can receive the person. The result is you are found out that you find out that you have ended up receiving him. Aman shalak. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So God wants to pour out his great blessing on you. And he wants to see how far you believe. There is a certain delusion that God wants to take something from you. He wants something you have. like something you have by, I don't know how you even got it. Yeah, that's the first problem. But even like you have it, is that he wants something from you. This is the commonest mentality of Christians. And so when God gave Abraham Isaac, God is the one who gave it. So God was not trying to take it away. But God wants to see that you believe in him. That you trust him, that he gave and he can give again. So he said, sacrifice it. Then he says, don't sacrifice. Don't, I was just testing it. No, don't sign it. I didn't mean it. I was just testing it. See if you would. That is what God wants. To see whether you will give it. When I started the ministry, look, let me tell you the truth. I knew I would be poor. Myself and my wife. I knew I wouldn't have anything. I wouldn't even be able to have a car. Look, do you know that as a pastor, I've come abroad to work, to job before. Oh yeah. Nobody knew. I came, I work in a post office doing various things to get money to survive and then go back and continue doing the ministry. I knew that I'll be poor. And God wants to see whether you are prepared to be poor and to have nothing. I'm prepared. I'm going for it. I will never have anything. I'm going. Now those things, that's righteousness. And now those things that I thought I would have, I have all and more. But that's not what I want, because now my heart has shifted totally. I knew I'll be poor. Oh man, there was no, my parents were worried. My parents-in-law were scared. My mother-in-law, please teacher, very, very scared. I named my daughter after her, Georgina, Paula Georgina, after my mother-in-law, please teach her. But I believed, and I just stepped out. It has turned out that God has, all the things that I thought I would lose, he has given me more than I can carry, more than I can use. Supposing I didn't even have it, that is also what I've chosen. It is a faith. That's what we call it, a faith. Now someone says, explain to me your Christian. I can't explain it to you. It's a faith. We believe. It's not something I can explain. I'm not trying to explain things. I'm trying to believe in things. Brothers and sisters, nobody here should point his finger at hijackers. They believe in the lie more than you believe in the truth. You are sitting here. You have a philosophy that you want to live and to survive. And they have a philosophy that they want to die. We have a culture that we want to live and have. They have a culture and a philosophy that I will die for what I believe. That's the difference. And we are rather called believers. You look down on Muslims. God should forgive us. God should forgive us. You're a believer. Would you give up your job and your life? Say, okay, go and leave all this and do that and that. Do that. And or even die. Tell your Rachel, look, I'm going to die for the Lord. I'm going to Afghanistan to go and work for God there as an aid worker and see you. This is a conviction that I like. Our pastors in Tamale, they were living in Norway and felt convicted to work in the north of Ghana. And they left everything and came and moved to the north of Ghana. How many people would do that? I see, that's what brings. They may not have the biggest church in the world. They have a big church, but they may not have the largest. They may not be the most souls. They may not do this, that, whatever it is. They have their own problems, but pleases God. By faith, they obtain a good report. I see you having a good report with the Lord. Father, thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.